in Matthew 24 this morning. We enjoy the Sunday school. You that were here, we heard a great lesson this morning. Brother Bowman just taught us so well, so richly, and carried us into the Word of God, and I appreciate that. There's something about the message this morning. In the Sunday school lesson, it uses this. I think it was in the truth, central truth. Unity comes as Christians stay focused. That word focused has been on my mind and heart for the last few days. And I don't know how much I'll use of that this week, or maybe just this morning, maybe tonight. I'm not sure how it's going to go. But I want to deal with that in chapter 24 of the book of St. Matthew. Let's look at the first three verses, basically, then we'll maybe look at some different places. But chapter 24, verse 1, 2, and 3. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and the disciples came to him for to shew him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Very things he said brought such curiosity among the disciples, and as he brings their attention and focus to the things that are yet to transpire. They are, according to verse 1, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke discuss and talk about this basic situation here where they're looking at the building, looking at the temple structure, its architecture. One of the places talks about it, it sees how goodly things are, the gifts and all these ornated stones, just beautiful, magnificent structure this temple is. So they're carried away with it, and of course they ask the Lord to look at these things, just behold them. Of course, Jesus kind of, in a sense, lets them down. He says, see not yet all these things. There shall not be one stone left upon another that shall not be thrown down. Kind of gets their attention. He's talking about the future events and things that are yet to transpire. And so their curiosity is spurred, and they ask, when are these things going to happen? What's going to be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And that's been a question that's been proposed and challenged us and caused us to study many times, many books written about the coming of Jesus Christ. And so various issues, people have various opinions. We all have opinions, don't we? When and how and all these things. But Jesus lets them know, he says, this temple's going to be destroyed. The stones are going to be just broken down. And, of course, the question is, when is it going to happen? What's going to be the sign? Jesus gives various and many signs about the end time, what's going to happen, things that's going to transpire. The disciples are basically, we could say, as we are influenced by the present state of condition of things. The things we see are they have great bearing upon us, what we see. We're influenced by the present, what we see, the things we're experiencing in the present time. So there's such a vast influence upon us, our surroundings. Where you live has a great influence upon and a great factor upon, you know, the way you live, the way you conduct yourself, the customs, the traditions, and all these things and all these natures of things. But here we find they're influenced by the building, and so are we. We're influenced by the society in which we're planted or placed in. We're influenced by the beauty as they are, the beauty, the buildings, the bureaucracy, the business, and all these things. And you and I, it's impossible for us not to be influenced by these things because they're around us. We're surrounded by them. And yet Jesus said, don't look at these things. Don't be so carried away and so influenced by these things because these are perishable. There's an insecurity of the things that you are so-called plugged into or focused in right now. You're focused in with these buildings. You're focused about this place. You're focused about this time. You're focused about Jewish nature and customs and traditions. He said, these things are going to perish. These things are going to be torn down. These things are going to be broken asunder. And they're curious enough to ask a question, give us some signs. Show us some things or tell us some things that we need to be aware of, that we need to be looking for. So Jesus starts and he talks. To begin with, he talks about the religious teachings that will go on in time to come. From that moment of time until the day in which we're living, he speaks about, he said, many shall come in my name. He talks about and saying, I am Christ. They will incorporate the name of Christ. They will incorporate the teachings about Jesus in their preaching, teaching, in their songs, in their religious activities. They will incorporate Christ. They will say that I am the Christ, that I am that, and they'll use my name deliberately. Whenever Jesus is talking in Matthew 7, he talks about how that they will come at the judgment. They say, Lord, because many were using the expression, Lord, Lord. There was a type worship, and so it has channeled right on down to our day where, Lord, Lord. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Amen. He says they'll come that day and they'll use that word or that religious jargon to incorporate it, to use, to deceive people. So there's a lot of people teach about Christ and speak about Christ and so-called worship Christ that are really not what Jesus desires. Because the devil knows he can't defeat religion. He can't defeat religion. So he uses religion. He incorporates the name of Christ. He incorporates the Lord's name. And he's able to do many wonderful works. And even so-called prophecy or prophesying. Because they will say, we've prophesied your name. We've done many wonderful works. But he'll say, I don't know you. I never knew you. Therefore, we find out that the teachings that are correlated or are going through and throughout the ages of time that are using Christ's name, incorporate his name into songs. There's people sing about Jesus that are not focused on Christ. They're not focused on, they're focused on his name, but not focused on his person, who he is. They're focused on his, but they're not focused on him. We've got to be focused on him. It's more than gifts. It's more than blessings. It's more than riches. It's more than glory. It's more than majesty. It's the person of Christ. It is him himself. The emphasis must be on him. The emphasis must be him. Not just on him, but it is him. He is the central core. He is the nucleus. He's the concentration. Amen. He is what we need to be focused on. It's Jesus. He tells about the teachings. And sometimes we get carried away about certain teachings and preachings. Amen. But Jesus must be the focus. The signs are given to us. But the signs should never detour us or deter us from that, amen, which is the foundation or the principles or the origin, the beginning. We must always focus on him. We get focused on the teaching. We get focused on the preaching. We get focused on the worship. But the focus is him. And he tells us that the religious facade or the religious mask that'll be placed and put on and the deception that comes, amen, from that point even to the day in which we're living, how they incorporate the name of Jesus, how they speak of Christ. Yeah, but Christ is far. They've done many wonderful works, carried out mission programs and been so active in the communities and the social agendas. But yet the focus is not the teaching. The focus is him. We have got to look at him as he really is. More than just teaching. It's more than just a thought. It's more than just a principle. He is everything. He is everything. There are many tributaries or streams that branch out or bring us to Him, but He is a source. We should never allow the signs and the symptoms become greater influence over us than the origin or the very substance or the very central core or the nucleus. It is all in Him. Sometimes we are easily get strung out, and we get on a trail here and a trail there and a trail over yonder. But it's Him. It all leads to Him, the signs. Whenever the wise men were looking for Christ, they said, we've seen His star in the east. We've come to worship Him. Thank God for the star. Thank God for the signs and the symbols. Amen. But thank God for Him, for Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. It's more than religion. It's more than worship. It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the light. He is everything. It is Him and Him alone. He's more than education. He's more than knowledge. He's more than wisdom. He is our Lord. He is Savior. He is God. Thank God for Jesus Christ. So he says, one of the signs is all the religious teachings, the organizations, all the things that will filter down that use my name, that say that I'm Christ, but it will deceive many. All their, later he speaks about the false prophets, the prophetic utterances, the energetic or enthusiastic of charisma today. Amen. Prophesying in his... You ever seen so many people prophesying today? To bring glory to their self? Everything that the Spirit does brings glory to Christ and Christ alone. It's not the building. It's not the church. It's not the preacher. It's not the doctrine. It is Him and Him alone. He chooses to operate through the foolishness of preaching that no flesh should glory in His presence. Amen. It is Him and Him alone. Jesus said, here's some signs. These prophetic utterances, this religious teaching, this religious jargon that's going on. Amen. These are just signs that the end is getting close. But don't get our eyes focused on religious teaching. Because many times we begin to teach our beliefs, our doctrines, our opinions, our thoughts, our interest, and we don't preach Christ. We preach what we think it says. Think that, he said, just preach me. Preach the gospel. Preach my message. Preach my story. Tell the world about me. I'm the only thing that can change a life. You can change some people for a few days, for a few weeks, for a few months, for a few years, but Christ changes people eternally. He turns them upside down, inside out. Amen. He changes forever the victim, you would call, or the servant, or the vessel, or the instrument. He changes it for His purpose, for the good of His glory and for the honor of His kingdom. So He says, don't get caught up in this. But keep your focus on Christ. Not the building, not the bureaucracy, not all these. He says, but you need to be looking for me. Later, he says, then shall appear the sign of the coming of the Son of Man. We can't get involved so much in signs. Some people are driven or given to signs, and Jesus talks about the sign. There'll be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. So some people, they're just governed by signs, and they get a thrill out of those signs, but get very little thrill out of Jesus. You notice that? Amen. Get so excited. Yeah, this is happening. And that, what about, you don't get excited just thinking about Him? It is an exciting day, but my excitement from the sign should never exceed or even be close or compare to the feeling I get when I think about Jesus, His crucifixion, amen, His suffering, His death, His life, His resurrection, His ascension, His promise, His soon
return as our King of glory, hallelujah. These things should be, amen, what compel me and drive me and move me and push me is when I see him, when I get focused in. And everything around may be signs pointing, but I'm centrally located him. And he is my aim. He is my desire. He is my goal, my purpose, my meaning for life. There are many signs. There's only one source. One central location, one nucleus, we would call it, one emphasis, and that is upon Jesus. I've got to see him. For then he talks about, he said, there are going to be wars and rumors of wars, and nations will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. And he talks about all these geographical borders being moved and removed and changed, and different kings, different kingdoms, different governments, and all these saying, don't get caught up in world events. Don't get caught up in current events. There's an eternal event that we need to be concerned about. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. Spend less time on world events and current events. Let's get involved in eternal events. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Every nation's going to pass away. Kingdoms are going to fall. Kings are going to be changed, succeeding one to the other. All these governments will dissipate. Amen. But there's a kingdom coming. There's a kingdom that is an eternal kingdom. And we must focus on the kingdom of God. That is a kingdom that is imperative and important. That is a kingdom that is essentially need to be thought about and talked about. We need to sing about his kingdom. It's him. So he tells us about all these events, transitions, all these changes that occur in life and through time. But don't get caught up. Don't get focused on the events. Focused on Emmanuel. Jesus is coming. Jesus is here right now, but he's going to be here in a different way. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus. So let's not get focused on these events, current or world. You know, if some current events weren't happening, some preachers wouldn't have anything to preach about. I've been where that's all they talked about was current events, world events. Amen. And you know, that will change. It'll change in a few years. It'll change in a few weeks. It'll change in a few moments. But the kingdom of heaven is an eternal kingdom. And Jesus said, these things are going to occur. This is some of the signs, some of the symptoms. He said, but the end is not yet. And so don't get carried away with it. Don't get so focused. He says there are going to be diseases, there's going to be famines, there's going to be earthquakes. Amen. All these maladies, all these catastrophes, all these climatic changes. Amen. All these cataclysmic events, they're going to happen. Amen. They're going to occur. But rather than talking about the death and the dearth, rather than talking about the disease, talk about the healer. Hallelujah. Praise God. Rather than talking about the creation, rather than talking about the creature, talk about the creator. Talk about him who made us, who lives, who is, and who always will be. Talk about me. Be focused on Christ. Center our attention. Center our worship. Because irregardless of the melody, irregardless of the beat, Christ is the same. You can shout when it's slow. You can shout when it's fast. You can shout whether it's your favorite song or it's your despised song. Amen. Because you're not singing about the song. You're singing about the Savior. He has got your attention. You're focused in. Amen. You become narrow-minded. It's good whenever you're narrow-minded about Jesus. You've just sent in. You're focused in. Your vision, amen, is not being persuaded by the things that surround you, but You've got tunnel vision, and you can see what is at the end. Hallelujah. So we can't get focused in. Jesus tells him, he said, some of the signs, he talks about, you'll be hated of all men. They're going to hate you. The government's going to hate you. Amen. The church is going to hate you. Your own brother's going to hate you. Your family's going to hate you. You're going to be hated of all men. You see, we can't get focused in on our reproach or our human suffering because no man ever suffered like Jesus. No man was ever despised like Christ. No man was ever reproached like Christ. No man was ever shamed like Jesus. And so I should never allow my suffering and my persecution and my humiliation and the reproach that I suffer and the reputation, amen, that I are trying to spare, amen, because he himself has suffered. He is Lord, he is King, but yet he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. And if I must focus, I will not focus on what I'm hurting and how I'm suffering and what I'm going through, but I will focus upon his life and his suffering. I'll get my eyes off myself and I will get my eyes on the Savior. I will look at Jesus. Whenever Paul is writing in Hebrews chapter 11, he gives us that long chapter there about the believers and how their faith calls them to triumph and the services they were able to render and the life they were able to live and the conduct that they carried, amen, in this life. He gets through and he talks about all these things from there's Abel and there's Enoch and there's Noah and then there's Abraham, there's Moses, there's Gideon, there's Barak, there's Jephthah, all these Samuel, David, all these great people of faith. But at the end, he said, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. You know, it's good for us to focus on men who share the same allocated experiences as we do. But in the end, it's not Abraham who is the source of my faith. He's the father of faith. He's not the source of my faith. Thank God for Noah who had the faith to build the ark. But Noah's not my Savior. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank God for a man that was after God's own heart but was not God. Thank God for Jesus who was perfect in every way. He says, wherefore, seeing we also can pass about with so great cloud of wind, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. He is the pivot point. He is a central theme. Amen. Let's look to Jesus. He's the author. He's the finisher of our faith. He is the source of our faith. He is not a man of faith or man that had faith, but he is the man in whom our faith is in. So I must focus upon him. Because if I focus on Abraham, I will see even where a man who was called the father of faith did some things that make me worry about Abraham. And I look at the faith of David and I see the things that he'd done. When I look at Noah, when I look at any man, but when I see Jesus, when I see Jesus, who is a perfect specimen, who is a perfect example, if I want to pattern my life, it's not a preacher that preceded me. It's not a preacher of history, but it is Christ, amen, of Calvary, is Jesus of Nazareth, that I would like to pattern my life. I want to focus on him. I want to make sure that he is the central theme of my thinking. He's the drink of my drinking. He's the bread of my eating. He's the song of my singing. I want to make sure it's Christ. Because it's easy for us to get detoured, distracted. It's easy to get, even sitting in a church service, we could get distracted. When you focus on him,
Because sometimes we focus on our brother, we focus on a sister, we focus on the music, we focus on the worship, and we're yet to focus on Him. Because when you focus on Him, something breaks out in you, something tears loose inside of you. When you see Him as He is, amen, it creates a challenge, it causes a charge inside of us that cannot be done by music or eloquence or ability or talents or skills. When you see Jesus Christ and Him crucified, when you get so carried away, amen, you get so overwhelmed because He's good when the music is silent. He's good when the eloquence is gone. He's good when the building has crumbled. He is everything. He is all things. Before Him was nothing, and after Him will be no succession, for He is all in all. He's the hope of our hoping. Thank God for Jesus. Jesus picks up the book of Isaiah. He's in the town of Nazareth. And it's given to him, and he pulls it, the 61st chapter as we know it. And he begins to read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach liberty to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach acceptable year of the Lord." When he gets through with that clause or with that phrase or with that those verses there, the Bible said he closes the books or closes the book, hands it back. The Bible says that all eyes were fastened on him. Somehow God can and God does at times orchestrate where every eye is focused on Him, looking at Him. Somehow, as a church, as a body of believers, as a group that's gathered together this morning and throughout the next few services, if somehow we could get focused in on Christ, and the glory of the Lord could fall in this place, and the hand of God could press upon us, and could imprint us and embed in us His divine design, that our eyes were fastened and we were consumed by who He is. Not by just what He's done and what He can do, because He says, "I'm going to preach to the poor. I'm going to heal, amen, the brokenhearted. I'm going to mend these things. I'm going to recover these things. I'm going to say these things." But if when we can get focused in on Him and all the things happening around us, the religious world, the social world, the political world, the economic world, are all things that are just literally fantasies and will perish and pass away. There's such insecurity in those things. There's something you and I are concerned about that's eternal. Amen. And that's our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. He lives. If the Lord tarries, we'll get a different president. Other nations will get new leaders. Social agendas change. Economic policies change. The globe, as far as we're under, it's changing. There's something so secure and so fundamental and so original. It's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Churches change. We change. Families change. A lot of things change, but Jesus is always the same. And if we could focus on Him, what a difference we would make. What a difference He would make through us. When we see Him and our eyes are fastened upon Him, we are charged and challenged by Him. God's wanting to do a work in this last day, as He's always done in every age, in every time. God's not sleeping. God's not dead. The work of God, though it may be seemingly small in some areas and insignificant in some, God is doing a great work in the world as a whole. God's doing a great work. Hallelujah. God is busy. God is working. Amen. Christ is ministering. Christ is saving. He is delivering souls from sin.
And I should allow all these things to distract me or detour me, because the work of God, amen, is going forth. His kingdom is vital. It's living. It's alive. People change and the way of worship changes, but he's always the same. We're creatures of change. We change with time. It's just us. He's the same. Thank God for Jesus. Let me focus not only these things, because some people even focus, Jesus said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many. Some people focus on the magnitude of sin, the grossness. And oh, don't we live in an age where sin is so extravagant and so abundant and so available? But I can't get so focused on all this sin around me. I've got to focus on him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Where sin abounded, grace doth much more abound. It is only an opportunity. It is not a disadvantage for God when sin is abounding. It is an opportunity for grace to be greater and for the love of God to shine brighter. Amen. When sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. Praise God. I'm so glad for Jesus Christ. I want to focus my eyes. I want to focus my heart, my worship, my devotion, my commitment, my daily life. Everything that I am, I want to focus on him. I want to focus on him. Praise God for Jesus this morning. Praise God for Jesus. We're focused on time. We're focused on events. Even the disciples, in such a glorious fashion, they experienced in Acts chapter 1, they finally asked him the question. He's been resurrected. He spent days and days and weeks with them, and finally the questions popped previous to his ascension back to the Father, and they said, "Will thou this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" Here's what he said. We don't pay much attention to it. He said, "It's not for you to know the times and the season the Father hath put in his own power." How many authors of books, how many writers have spent their time? You ever walked into a Christian bookstore and looked for a book on the second coming? Have you ever found one? Or have you found 1,000 or 10,000? Jesus said, "It's not for you to know the times and the season the Father put in his own power." He said, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world." The focus is not on Israel. The focus is not on the Jew. The focus is not on a parcel of ground. The focus is not upon a certain culture. The kingdom of God is bigger than Israel. The kingdom of God is greater than just the people, the Jews. The kingdom of God is greater than a certain time. The kingdom of God is greater than a certain piece of property, a piece of land. Amen. As small, amen, as New Jersey. The kingdom of God is bigger, it's broader, it's greater, has more culture, has more diversity. God's got a greater aim, a greater purpose, and a greater reason that's going on, rather than us being narrowed about just in the South, or just in our state, or just in our doctrine, or just in our belief. The kingdom of God is bigger than that, and we must focus on him. They were ready for an overture of government. They were ready for the Romans to release them. They were ready for them to have their own king. Jesus told them, it's not important for you to be comfortable. It's not important for you to think that you're the ones that's going to reign and rule. He said, the important thing is the Holy Ghost has come to give you power, that you be willing to lay your life down, that you will express, that you will testify, that you will witness of who I am. That's what the Holy Ghost is. Its aim, its wish, its goal, its purpose is that he empowers us to be witnesses, that we can focus. Even the Holy Ghost, Jesus said, there's things I could tell you he said, but there's no need to. You can't receive it right now. Holy Ghost, when he's come, he's going to receive of mine, shall shew it to you. Holy Ghost wants us to center in on Christ. In an hour and an age where we're centering on
teaching, on religion, on preaching, on worship. We're centering on world events. We're centering on human suffering. We're centering on so many things. The Holy Ghost has come to center us in on Christ, to see Him. Amen. The Holy Ghost is more than a feel-good, more than an emotion, more than an experience. The Holy Ghost is a person who reveals a person. And He doesn't reveal Himself. He doesn't reveal the Holy Spirit. He reveals Jesus Christ. He is the underlying factor, the underlying principle. He is the very, praise God, expressed desire of the Father to express and convey and to channel the message of Christ through us and in us. God, help us this morning. Lord, help me to focus. I'll tell you, I get so distracted, don't you? It's so easy to get distracted. We get pulled away. I mean, sometimes you can't even get centered in worship, everything being just right. But if I can center in on Him, worship comes. The praise comes. If I can focus on Him. Amen. Would you stand with us all over the house? Amen. Oh, Lord, touch us this morning. Help me, Lord, to focus not on a doctrine, not on a certain belief, but help me to be like John the Baptist. Help me to be a receiver, a responder. When John saw Jesus making his encounter, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." I wish I could show somebody this morning Jesus. It's not important if you remember me, you know me. But it's important that you know Jesus. And John said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." John was not there to argue about baptism, what type of baptism, what formula, what doctrine. He was there to present the people Jesus Christ. He said, "He's the Lamb. He's the Lamb. He's the Lamb of God. And He takes away the sin of the world." We see how the early church was started. The church just thrived and thrived. They preached and they left. They preached and they left. It's because the preaching was focused on Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was taking away their sins. He was qualifying them for the services, for the works, for the operation, for the building of the kingdom of heaven. Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. Our problem is sin. Our solution is Jesus. Our problem is sin. And I can't focus on the homosexuality, lesbian community. I can't focus on the drug abuse and all these other things I have got. It doesn't mean that we don't say they're not there. But the solution, we must spend more time on the solution than the problem, because He is the only solution. Amen.